Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find midway down the wide lines of Daf Yud. The Mishnah deals with the issue of preparing birds that you intend to use on Yom Tov, namely, you intend to slaughter them on Yom Tov, so you need to prepare them, designate them from before Yom Tov. The Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim lo yitoil ela im kein yaneah mibod yom. You are not to take the birds on Yom Tov unless you shook them, you picked them up, you physically designated them from Erev Yom Tov, before the holiday. Ubeis Hillel omrim oimed vioimer ze veze ani notel. It is sufficient for you to make a verbal declaration before Yom Tov, pointing out, highlighting which birds you want to take. Omar Rav Chonon Bar Ami. You'll notice we have a marking, the double underline here is used to highlight the expressions machlokes and divrei hakol, where there, under what circumstances there is a controversy between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and where there is agreement. So Rav Chonon Bar Ami says machlokes bevrecha rishoina. The machlokes concerns the brecha rishona. What is that? So we look at Rashi, brecha rishona, derech megadle yonim, the way of people raising birds, yonim are literally, are doves, the dove raisers, lehoniach brecha rishona shokol shana lios tzeves le'ima. The birds produce, lay eggs and produce chicks every month with a certain lull period in the middle of the year, which Rashi makes reference to later. But at the beginning of every, we'll say, bird year, the first pair of birds, the brecha rishona, are kept by the owner. He won't sell them. They serve as company for their mother. So the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Hillel concerns that first pair of birds, the first pair of offspring of a given year. The Beis Shammai Savri, Gazrina Duma Osil Muchi. Beis Shammai says if you intend to use those birds for your Yom Tov meal, so you have to shake them, because otherwise we're fearful that when you come to take them on Yom Tov, you might pick them up and then decide not to use them. So you don't concretize your intention unless you actually pick them up. And this is only a reference to the Brecha Rishona. Beis Hillel Savri Loi Gazrinan. Beis Hillel says, we're not worried about that. The Rashi points out, Gazrinan, Kishoki Lehu Lamochar, if you don't pick them up Erev Yom Tov, so we're afraid that when you take them the next day, Osil Meluchi, you'll come to change your mind, V'chayas Alayon, you'll have regrets, of a feel sense of Chayas literally is compassion or desire to save them. V'havi Lei Tiltu Shelo L'tzorech, and the problem is that my picking them up initially on Yom Tov was then a picking up, a moving of animals, of birds in this case, for no reason. Once, however, a person does this, he picks them up erev Yom Tov and decides to slaughter them on Yom Tov, we're not worried that he will change his mind. Sulo chayshinon dechais, we're not concerned anymore of this feeling of remorse or change of mind. That's as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, and Beis Hillel says we're not worried that that's going to happen, that you're going to that in the absence of a physical shaking, that on Yom Tov you'll pick them up and then change your mind. It's enough that you verbally designate. We continue in the Gemara. Avol bevrecha shnia, subsequent birds of that particular year, birth of birds, divrei hakol, everyone will agree, even Beis Shammai, be'oimed ve'omer zev ze'ani noitel sagya, that it is enough to have the verbal declaration that I will take, and you specify which birds you want to take. Ubeis Hillel, lomali lemeimar zev ze'ani noitel. The Gemara now asks, regarding Beis Hillel, why is even that necessary to delineate ahead of time which birds you want to take? Take note, by the way, we're starting a long question. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and which we'll read together. Hachonas goizolos alibud Beis Hillel. With regard to the preparation of birds, according to Beis Hillel, lomatzoch lomar zev ze'ani nota. Why is there a necessity of delineating which birds, of designating which birds? Velo sagi, why is it not enough b'mikan ani notel? V'lismoch abrera, that a person, erev Yom Tov, says, from here, I will take birds. And then we can say that the birds that he eventually takes, retroactively, those are the birds that he prepared. Brera. Brera is retroactive determination. So that after you actually pick them up on Yom Tov, we can say that these are the birds that he intended when he said, erev Yom Tov, I will be taking from here. So why not rely on that? Why is it important to base Hillel that you specify zeh, v'zeh, this and this, aninota, I will take? We continue in the Gemara. V'chitema, you might say, Beis Hillel less lehubreira, that Beis Hillel doesn't subscribe to this institution called Breira, retroactive determination, retroactive clarification. V'hatanan, but we have a Tanaic source where it seems that Beis Hillel does subscribe to retroactive clarification. Now this source doesn't have anything to do with Yom Tov, nor with birds. It's a source that has relevance to the realm of Tumas Meis, defilement caused by a corpse, and defilement caused by a corpse when items are in the same room or under the same roof as a corpse, so all the vessels will become Tumei. There's another point that when you are entering a house, so the house has a doorway. The lintel, in other words, the beam above the doorway, in your mind's eye, is essentially a different roof than that which covers the interior of the house. So that if you would have, let's say, a corpse in a house, and there's a doorway, and in the doorway there are vessels, from the Torah standpoint, those vessels are not defiled, because the roof over the vessels is the roof formed by the doorway, the lintel of the doorway, and not the roof of the room in which the corpse is found. If items were in the same room, under the same roof as the corpse, so all the vessels and people, of course, would become tame, would become defiled. We're going to talk about a house that has numerous entranceways and windows, and we're going to talk about vessels in those doorways or windows. The source says, Hameis bebayis velo psochem harbe, if there is a corpse in a house, and the house has many entrances, many openings into it, doorways and windows, kulon tameim, all the items that are in the doorways are tomei, and here we have to say that it's tomei midrabbanan, and that is because the corpse might be taken out any one of those entranceways, and we don't know which entranceway. So the rabbis made a gzera, a rabbinic ruling, that where tuma eventually goes out, so the items in those areas, in those spots, in the doorways or windows, will become tamei. And as we said, we don't know right now which one, which window or which door the body is going to be taken out. We continue in the source. Niftach echod mehen. If after the individual died, one of the doors was then opened, one of the windows was opened, hu tomei v'kulon tahurin. So vessels that are in that doorway, they are tomei, and the vessels in the other doorways that are still closed, they remain tohor. Now let us take a look at the Rashi. Hu tomei. We're looking at Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text. Hu tomei bein kelim de meikora bein kelim de lebesof ha muvoin loy libachutz. Regarding the doorway that was opened after the mace died, after the body was dead, all vessels in that doorway, whether they were vessels that were from there from before, or vessels brought afterwards, they are tomei. The source goes on to say v'kulan tahorin, and Rashi says v'kulan tahorin l'divrei hakol mukminan lehu. This kulan tahorin, all the other entranceways are tohor, according to everybody. The modu hakol mikanu labo became avoyim l'soichan achrechein bibachutz. Vessels that are brought to the other doorways that are closed after one of the doorways was opened, so all subsequently brought vessels to the other doorways are tohor, according to everybody. The reason for that is because it's clear that the doorway, the door that was opened, is the door through which the body will be carried out. So the other doorways remain, they will be tohor regarding vessels brought there after the one doorway was opened. We continue. Chishev lehotzio be'echod mehen o b'chalon sheish barbo arbo. Chishev means planned, intention. There was intention to take the body out of one of the doorways or through a window that has a minimum size of 4x4 hand breadths. That's the size through which your average body could be taken out. So if there was a plan to take the body out through one of those spaces, one of those openings, matzeles al kol hapsochim kulan. So that decision will save all the other doorways from being a place of tumah. This idea of a decision being effective in saving all the other doorways is provided the decision was made before the individual died. So already, while the person was still alive, he might have been in the throes of death, but he was still alive, a particular doorway was designated mentally. So the vessels and all the other doorways will be tohor, will remain tohor. But Beis Shammai's point is the decision was made before the person was dead. So there isn't any element here of retroactive clarification. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, af mishiyamus hames. Even after the person died, the decision to take the body out from one of the doorways will be effective in declaring tohor all the other doorways. Now we look at Rashi, and this is where we are particularly interested, because when you say post facto, things can be determined retroactively, then that's Breira. Rashi says, Af Mishyamas Ameis, the Kosalka Daitoch, the thinking right now is the Breira Pligi, that the point of controversy surrounds the issue of Breira, retroactive determination. Ubekalim Shohoyu Bohen Bain Miso Lamachshova. And the Machlokus focuses on the vessels that were in those doorways and all the other doorways after death, before the decision was made. Beishamai Savri Lo Amrinon Huvror. We don't say that the decision after death clarifies the Meikora Daite Lohochi Avoi, Velo Yorda Tumalo Sharab Sochim, that now retroactively it becomes clear that his mind was on this doorway to the exclusion of all the others, and therefore Tumo would not be present with regard to any of the other doorways. So Beis Shammai says, we don't say that. Beis Shammai says, well, Safri, Uvrar, yes! The fact that you're deciding now actually clarifies that this is what his intention was before the person even died. Ulamai de Salka Daita Hashto Sviralon de Beniftach Echod Mehem Nami Havu Pligi became the Korah. At this point, this is going to change though, but at this point the thinking is that regarding the case of one of the doorways was opened up, would also be a point of machlokes regarding the vessels that were there before one doorway was opened. Tahurim de Kotoni Liel Kol, the term Tahurin that was stated in this source before we came to the machloikes, in other words, that was something that was unanimously accepted, that is bekalim de mikanobah, that's with regard to vessels that are brought after the doorway was opened. Then it's clear that the other doorways remain tohor. So at this point in the Gemara, what do we see? The thinking is that according to Beis Hillel, there is Breira, in other words, a decision after the person died, a decision to carry the body out through one of the doorways, shows us retroactively that all the other doorways weren't candidates for the mace's exit, and hence vessels in all the other doorways, even those that were there before he made his decision, will be tahor. Why? Because we say retroactively, only this doorway was ever on his mind. So that having been said, we're showing you that Beis Hillel holds from the concept of Breira. And if he does, why then in the case of the birds, could he not go to the bird coop and Erev Yom Tov, all he says is, I'm going to take birds from here. Which birds? I'll tell you what. Tomorrow when he picks the birds, we'll say, these are the birds that he had actually prepared. That's retroactive. Why not? So why don't we say, why does Beis Hillel say that you have to be more specific? You have to say, Zeh v'zeh ani notel? The Gemara answers, Ha itmar alo, Omar Rabo. So it was said concerning this by Rabo. And you'll notice that we have a diamond marking. And this will highlight a machlokes between Rabo and Rava on this topic. So Rabo says, "L'tahir es hapsochem mikan ulahabo." When the source talks about a decision made to take the mace out of one of the doorways, there's no retroactive clarification. Nothing's retroactive. All that we're saying is from that the point of the decision onwards, any vessels that were brought after he decided to take out the body out of one of the doorways, so it's then that Beis Hillel says they are tohor. But vessels that were there before he made his decision, Beis Hillel would not declare tohor. Let's take a look at the Rashi, Ha Itmar Allah. The afilu beisilo leslehu huvror the ain mitaren elokelim b'sof the lachem achshava avur yishanim tamayim. Beis Hillel says there is nothing retroactive, and the only thing that's Torah are those vessels that are brought after he made his decision. Beis Hillel Beis Shammai does not reckon with that, and they'll memetame, they'll declare tome even later vessels. The Kosavri, Mishiyorda, Turas, Tumo, Lipsochim, Lifnei Machshava, Bemisis Ames, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that once the concept of Tumo sets upon all the doorways that were prior to his decision, so Shuv Eino Oile Mehem, Ela De Maisik, El Niftach, the purification of the other doorways can take place only with an action, not with the decision, like Beis Hillel says, to take the mace out of one of the doorways, but an action, like opening the doorway. And in that case, where one doorway is open, so there's no machlokas, even Beis Shammai agrees that vessels brought there after the doorways open, those vessels, the vessels in the other that was brought to the other doorways that remain closed after one was open, they will remain tohar. So as we see Rabbah, diamond number one, the question that was asked before doesn't even get started. What was the question? By the birds, why can't base, according to Beis Hillel, why can't he just say, Mikan ani nota, from here I'm going to take, and let it become clarified tomorrow retroactively that that which he takes is the are the birds that he had in mind. That's a retroactive issue, and we don't see Beis Hillel holding from Breira. We continue in the Gemara. V'chein omer Rabbi Hoshaya, Rabbi Hoshaya says like Rabbo, l'tayer es apsochim mikanu labo, to the decision that Beis Hillel says works to create tahara, that's only with regard to the vessels brought after the decision was made. Vessels brought to the other doorways after the decision was made to take him out through a specific window or doorway. Mikan ulabo in lemafrelo. The decision is effective to create tahara only from the decision time onwards, but nothing retroactive. Therefore, by the preparation of the birds as well, you have to say Zev is aninote, and you cannot rely on Breira. Rava Omar li oilom limafreya. According to Rava, in fact, Beis Hillel does hold from Breira, and that the once the decision is made, vessels in all the other doorways will retroactively clarified as being tohar. Well, so according to Rava, if Beis Hillel holds from retroactive clarification, lemafreya means retroactively breira, so why by the birds could he not just say mikan ani notel? The hacha, and here by the preparation of the birds, hainu taima, this is the reason that he has to be more specific and cannot just say mikan ani nota, from here I will take. Dilma metalta v'shavik, metalta v'shavik. If you are not specific from Erev Yom Tov, and you, all you said is, I'll take some birds from here. You know what you're going to do on Yom Tov? You're going to pick up a couple birds, look at them, say, ah, these are scrawny. I'll probably find better ones. And you'll do that again and again. And you know what happens? Become a tattletale. Midi the lo chazile, and in the course of your decision making, you were carrying, you were moving around a lot of birds. Something that regarding those other birds, they have no Yom Tov purpose in their being moved. They weren't moved for Yom Tov, and therefore, because there's an Isser, there's a prohibition of moving animals around for no reason. You've got to be specific in your preparation, your preparatory remarks. You've got to be specific before Yom Tov. Question: V'ho amris ba'oymeid ve'oymer zevaz aninotel sakya. But one second, didn't Beis Hillel say that you can stand at a distance? This is a word that Rashi adds to the understanding. You can stand at a distance and say, this one and this one I am taking. You don't have to, according to Beis Hillel, you don't have to pick up any birds. Just to stand at a distance and make a specific declaration. What would that indicate? That you didn't check from the day before which birds, you just stood at the distance and said, you didn't see how they really were. So is there not, even according to the suggested method of Beis Hillel, is there not the same problem of Dilma, Metalta Vishovik, he'll pick up and then leave them and not use them and end up moving for no reason? The Gemara says, Hani Mili Me'erev Yom Tov. And here we cannot translate, but Rashi immediately adds klomar, and therefore, where Erev Yom Tov means, where you knew before Yom Tov which ones you plan to use, which birds you plan to use, there's some psychological value in that he locks his mind into those birds and he figures, I'm going to use them no matter what condition they're in, whether they're scrawny or they're fat. I'm not going to take any other birds, because he knows that all the other birds are muktzah, they weren't designated. So that's effective. Hani mimi me erev yom tov. That's what we just said. This idea of the psychological value, your mind gets locked into something and you won't move other birds. That's when you made this specific declaration, erev yom tov, even if you didn't pick them up. I will be yom tov. But to come on Yom Tov, where you didn't clarify anything before Yom Tov, and start checking out birds, well, it's also the Zimnin, the Mishtichi, Shmeinim, Chushim, Chushim, Shmeinim. You know what? The next day on Yom Tov, you find out what you thought were fat birds were actually thin, just had a very thick plume. And those birds that you thought were scrawny were actually fat, were actually meaty. The Kometata Midi, the Lochazilein, end up moving birds that he doesn't need for Yom Tov. All those that he was picking and deciding not to use. Inami, Zimnin de Mishtichi Kulu Kushim. Another problem is if you wait till Yom Tov itself to choose birds, you might find that they're all scrawny. Vishoviklu, and you're not going to use any of them. Vyosi Limnuim Simchas Yom Tov, and you're going to thereby be withheld from enjoying the holiday. However, and Rashi points out, if you specify before Yom Tov, so you aren't going to be relying on any other birds, and you're going to take these birds no matter what their condition is. So, as is the case in many, many Gemaras, it's fascinating how there's this psychological element of how a person's mind and decision-making takes place, that when specific decisions are made before the holiday, your mind gets locked into that. There's a heightened awareness that all the other birds are muktzah, and you put them out of your mind, and we're not afraid you're going to end up moving other birds to check them out. But if you don't lock your mind in from before Yom Tov and wait till Yom Tov, so then all of the above-mentioned fears surface. And that's why even Beis Hillel, who holds from Breira, isn't going to rely on that. That's because of this, we'll call it external consideration about a person not being locked into his decision. We continue with the new Mishnah, continuing with the same topic of preparing birds. And here we'll talk about preparing birds in their coop from before Yom Tov. The Mishnah seems to be easy. However, the Gemara will ask, aren't some of the points mentioned in this Mishnah obvious? So we have to find out what's the deeper understanding of the Mishnah, and that we'll discover when we get into the Gemara. So in the meantime, Zimein Shchor Nemotzu Lefanim, he prepared black birds, and he found on Yom Tov white birds. Or the other way around, Levanim Motzu Shchorim, he prepared in the bird coop white birds, he found in there black birds. Shnayim Motzu Shloisha, or he prepared two birds and he found three. Asurim, they are all usur. He only prepared two. What's this? The third bird that's there is not something he prepared. And Tosus asks, or Tosus points out, well, you might want to say, so what? You found the two you did prepare, so isn't the third botel barov? Isn't it botel, isn't it nullified in the fact that it's a minority, it's part of a majority of birds that are mutter? So Tosus answers two answers. One answer is that Balei Chayim, live animals, are choshuv, and hence they're not subject to nullification in a mixed situation. Likewise, there's another answer he gives, and that is that when you're dealing with this realm of mukta, of things that were not prepared, the problem is temporary. It's only Yom Tov related. After Yom Tov, all the birds become mutter. That is known as a dover sheyesh lematirin, an item that becomes mutter later. And when we have things like that, so we say instead of eating it now, instead of using it now, wait till afterwards when you can do it beheter. And therefore, There will not be bittul in cases like that. We continue in the Mishnah. Shloishimot Sushnaim, he prepared three birds and he found two mutaran. We figure that the two that remain, there are those two birds that you had prepared. Besocha kein motzulifnei kein. If you had birds in a bird coop, which you prepared, and you found them, you found birds in front of the bird coop on a perch, asurim, you cannot use the ones that you found in front of the bird coop. V'imein shom elohim, hare elu mutarin. And if there are no other birds in the vicinity, then those that you found, you can use. The Gemara asks the question that we raised before. Pshita, it's obvious. If you prepared black birds for your Yom Tov use, and you find white birds, they weren't prepared, and we've said this point numerous times since the beginning of the Masechta, that items that you want to use for Yom Tov, they have to be prepared from beforehand. You didn't prepare white birds. So what the Mishnah says is that if you prepared black birds and you found white ones, so the white ones are also, it's obvious. You didn't prepare the white birds. Omar Rabo, Hocha b'mayaskinon, Kagain shezimein shchorim ulevonim. The case here is where he actually prepared black birds and white birds. We look at the Rashi at the beginning of the Gemara commentary. Kagon shezimein shchorim ulevonim. Bishnei kinim. There were two bird coops. White bird, black in one and white in the other. V'chol hakinim muvdolim b'mechitzis. V'aliyas. When we speak about the bird coops, we should be more specific. One bird coop is divided by walls and ceilings to different stories and different compartments. K'derech kol shovachim. Sh'asim aliyas harbe. V'chol aliyah yesh bo mechitzis harbe. And each floor, the bird coop itself has several floors. Each floor has numerous compartments. So our Mishnah is talking about a person who had prepared black birds and white birds. Vehishkim, he woke up early. Umotza shchur b'malkum levonim, levonim b'malkum shchurim. The compartment in which the black birds that he prepared are now found in that compartment, white birds. And the compartment that was occupied by the white birds that he prepared are now occupied by black birds. So, mahu detema. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought, hani inu ninu. The black birds and the white birds are the same birds that he prepared. V'ishapuchi ishapuch, and they simply switched locations. The black birds that he prepared on the right hand side are now in the left hand side, and the white birds that were on the left hand side are now in the right hand side. Kamash Malon, what the Mishnah reveals is it comes to tell us Hanach Azdu Le'Alma, the birds that he prepared, the white birds and the black birds, fluttered away. Vehani Achrini Ninhu, and the white birds and black birds that he finds now are totally different. They're not the birds he prepared at all. So the Gemara asks, Leimo Mesele Reb Chanina, can we say that this Mishnah supports Rabbi Chanina's teaching? And we have this bow tie form here, simply to highlight that the Gemara does, in the course of this Gemara, it attempts on two occasions to bring support to Rabbi Chanina's teaching. The Yomar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina's teaching states, when you have competing forces, Roiv V'Korov, you have an issue of doubt. You can settle the doubt by looking at the majority, or you can settle the doubt by looking at proximity. That's Rov V'Korov. Haloch Achar Horov. Should we then conclude, like Rabbi Chanina says, that from this Mishnah you see, you follow the majority. In other words, the majority of birds are not in the bird coop, they are in the world. With regard to the bird coop, we had black birds and white birds, and if you want to determine the identity of the birds as being his, the ones that he prepared, if you look in terms of proximity, so they were close to each other. They simply switched their locations, were right next door to one another. And yet we don't determine this doubt through proximity, but rather we determine the doubt through looking at where do the majority of the birds come from. Rashi is a bit elaborate on this point, but it's a very important principle to be aware of. So let's take a look at the Rashi together. Rov v'karov, toward the end of the narrow lines, in bo ma'isilafonenu, we have an incident that comes to our awareness. V'yeshlut loso b'davar karov o lahatir o le'asor. V'yeshlut loso achar harov linyan acher chiluf hakarov. And in order to determine the doubt that is in front of us, we can either base it on proximity, whether it results in heter of something allowed or it results in prohibition. We're going to determine the identity of the unknown item in terms of proximity. V'yesh litloso acha harov le'inyan acher chiluf hakarov. However, if you look at the doubt in front of you and attempt to determine it based on the rov, the majority, where do the majority of this item in question come from, you're going to end up with an opposite conclusion than had you gone with the issue of proximity. So when you have these two competing forces, rov versus korov, Rabbi Chanino says, haloch acha harov, follow the majority. Umasi sinami hochi omar, and it would seem that our mission is saying the same thing. On the one hand, you can say that these white birds and black birds are the same birds he prepared. They simply switched locations. They were next to each other. So that's korov. That's going according to proximity. They are in proximity of one another, and they are the same birds that I prepared. The lo talinon, yet we don't say that. Elo amrinon me almo asu ume rubo pirshu, that the birds, the white birds and the black birds that you find the next day on Yontif in their different locations now, switched around, they're not the birds I prepared at all. The ones I prepared are gone, and the birds that are here came from the world, where you find, of course, the majority of the birds. So that's how our Mishnah settles the matter. So should this not be a support to Rabbi Chanino? It says that when you have a doubt and you have these two competing methods of solution, rov versus korov, we base our decision on the rov, on the majority. And the majority of birds come from the rest of the world, and they are not birds that I prepared. So shall we not say that our Mishnah supports Rabbi Chanina? The Gemara says no. Kid Omar Abaye, as Abaye explains elsewhere, bedaf. Daf is a perch, or literally it's a board that extends beyond the bird coop. Hocha nami bedaf. So as Abaye says elsewhere, we're going to apply that over here, so that we have a bird coop. And on Erev Yom Tov, he prepared blackbirds in one that were in one compartment, white birds that were in another compartment. And in addition to those birds, there are also birds that settle upon or dwell upon the perch in front of the bird coop. And those birds he did not prepare. And amongst those birds, you've got blackbirds and white birds also. So that in this case, you've got two korovs, essentially. It's either korov between the two groups of birds that I bear, the blackbirds and the white birds that are next to each other, or the birds that I find on Yom Tov in the compartments that I had prepared, my birds yesterday, maybe they came from the perch, which is also korov. But I have not prepared those birds on the perch. So that in the case of the Mishnah, as we're explaining now, it's not a case of a rov versus korov. It's effect. It's two korovs that are pitted off against each other, and the result of this is usur. Now, we mentioned earlier in passing, but I think it's an important concept. You are dealing with a sofek derabbanan here, and Generally speaking, when you have a Sofek Derabon, you have a doubt in the realm of rabbinic law or rabbinic restrictions, we always go lenient. Here, we're not being lenient, and the explanation, as we said before, could very well be based on the fact that you're dealing with a Dover Shelish Matirin. It's an item, the issue of Muktzah, the issue of that which was not prepared, is time limited to Yom Tov. The next day, there's no problem. So we say, instead of eating it today, wait till tomorrow. Let us take a look at the Rashi, who describes the Daf. On the first wide line under the Gemara text, Bedaf, Sheyesh Daf Lifnei HaShovach Boleit V'yotzi Mimenu. There's a platform that extends beyond in front of the bird coop. V'shom Boim V'yotzim Yoinim D'me'al Motodir. They're in, on that platform, on that shelf, other birds, other doves come from the world. Lots of birds come from outside. Shiremli konis the cane. They are afraid to go into the coop. Because the birds that are the current inhabitants of the coop, Megarshines call Habo Aleihem. Little insight into bird communities. They will chase away all foreigners. And when the current inhabitants do leave the shovach, so the birds that were on the coop, on the perch, they will only then enter. Hilkoch, therefore, in our case, chayshinon shema min hadaf bo lakinin, where the birds that I find on Yom Tov day, the black birds in the white bird compartment and the white birds in the black bird compartment, I will figure that they came from the perch. Hilkoch asurim davalu kuhu krovim shebedaf shebekein v'shebekein. They're all korov. They're all near one another, the same level of proximity. Hilkoch zil basiruba. And when you can't, in that case, you've got two competing korov methods, then we rely on the rov. Then the rov will settle the matter. But as you can see, it's not a case of a rov versus a single issue of korov, but you have two competing korov forces at work. In that case, they cancel each other out, so to speak, and then I go based on the rov. But that's not a support to Rabbi Chanina, who assigned power to rov even when it's up against a single issue of korov. We continue in the Gemara. Shnayim u'motza shloisha asurim. If I prepare two and I find three, so they're all forbidden. And the Gemara explains, ma nafshach, either way you look at the bird that these birds, e achrini ninu, if they are from outside, if they're others, ha achrini ninu, so if they're ones I didn't prepare, the lo achrini ninu, if they're not from the outside, in other words, if all three birds, if I prepared two birds and I find three, if they are all different birds, so they're all different, and the ilo, if they're not all different birds, there is one bird that I did not prepare, I only prepared two, so there's one that's clearly that which I did not prepare, and we saw Tosfos before, even though it's a minority, nevertheless, Baalei Chaim are not Botel, or Dover Sheish L'Matirin remains Osir even in a Taroves. Shloisha U'motza Shnayim Mutarin. You prepared three birds, and you find two, they're Mutar, those are the ones you prepared. Maitaimo, why is that? Hani inu ninu. The two birds that I see there are those that I had prepared from yesterday, Erev Yom Tov. V'chaminai v'azulama. And one of the three, flew away. Lemo masnisin rebi hivalo rabbonan. So here we start a question. And this question essentially takes in the following Tanaic source, because there are three lines of question. Let us say, or shall we say, that our Mishnah is according to the Rebbe and not according to the Rabbanan. The Sanya, we are going to now quote a source in which Rebbe and the Rabbonin will appear. The source, as we saw earlier, we saw sources quoted in this sugya, but have nothing to do with the actual case of birds. So that we have to look at principles, not at specific examples. The specific example in this source has to do with Meiser Sheni, money. Mois Meiser Sheni. Just by way of background, if this is the first time you're hearing our shiurim and are not familiar with Mois, what does it mean, Meiser Sheni, money? Every year, a person who's involved with agriculture has a harvest, and from the harvest, several different kinds of tithes must be removed, and there's a 7-year sabbatical cycle. So in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year cycle, there is, in addition to the other basic tithes of Truma and Maaser Rishon, there's also a tithe called Maaser Sheni. The fruits of Maaser Sheni, the produce of Maaser Sheni, is expected to be brought to Jerusalem, and if for some reason you can't bring the fruits themselves, you can poyta them onto money. The money then is brought to Yerushalayim and is used to buy food that you eat in Jerusalem. The money is, or the money we're then talking about is the redeemed fruits, the fruits that were redeemed onto the money. They're called Mois Meiser Sheni money. And Meiser Sheni money is, as we described, it has a very specific use. You bring it to Yerushalayim and you buy food there with the money. We have a source, the Sanya, regarding Meiser Sheni. Hiniach mona umotzu masayim. A person had left, had put down mona. Mona is an amount. We'll say 100 coins of Meiser Sheni. He put them in a box. And he opened the box and he finds 200. Umotzu masayim. How do you look at the money? You only put in 100. You find 200. Rebbe says that there's a mixture here of chulin and meiser sheni. In other words, that the original meiser sheni that I had left in the box is there, and some chulin was brought in, and they are now mixed up. And you'll see that right underneath this as well, and in another case, the Chol have the same psak, the same ruling that it's all chulin. So in this case, where you had left in the box a small amount, found a greater amount, Tanakama says, chulin and Meiser Sheni are mixed in with one another. And the Chol say, HaKol chulin. He niach mosai motzomono, the second case, person left 200 and found less. He found 100. Mona munach umona mutal. The Meiser Sheni that you originally had left in the box is still there, just half of it, and the other half was removed. Divrei Rebbe. The Chomom Rakol Chulin. Chom say, someone tampered with this. Someone played around over here. So what happened is, in the mind of the Chachamim, whoever came and he took out the original 200, and he put back in something else. He put back in chulin, 100 of chulin. Therefore, whatever is in the box is mutter. That having been said, in our Mishnah, we had a case of prepared a lot, found less. Mishnah ruled mutter. In our source here, you have Hiniach Mosai Motsumona. Originally put more, found less. Just like the birds. Prepared 3, found 2. What does Rebbe say? Rebbe says the original is still there. What did our Mishnah rule about the case of Shloshim Motsu Shnayim? The birds that you found are mutter. What does Rebbe say with regard to the Meiser Sheni? That which you originally put there is still there, just less of it. So it would sound like our Mishnah is like Rebbe, not like the Rabbonin. At the Mishnah, this Tanaic source says that mona munach mona muto, that's Divrei Rebbe, v'chomim ha'kol chulin. What are the Chachamim saying? That whatever I had put, the Meiser Sheni that was originally there is not there anymore, it was taken away. And everything that's there is chulin. It's new stuff. It's not Maaser Sheni. So, as the Gemara raised on the first wide line, it sounds like our mission is according to Rebbe and not according to the Rabbonan. Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rabbonan. Our Mishnah with birds, prepared three, found two. The two that you found are original. It could be according to Rabbonan. Ho'idmar lo, it was stated concerning our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar Dami Travayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar say, Shiny Gozolos, Gozolos, birds are different than pouches of money. So, namely, even though in the case of the money, the Rabbonin say it's all new, birds are different. Hail the Asuyan Lidados, they're living birds, they tend to waddle. Lidados, they waddle. And therefore the Rabbonin, who in the case of the Maaser Sheni said everything that's there now is something else, is not anything that was there from before. Not so in the case of birds. You prepared three, you find two, because the one bird waddled away. That's the nature of birds. They waddle away. So therefore the Chachamim can agree with what's taught in our Mishnah. Now we have a Gemara that I would call a very technical Gemara. It's focusing on a detail of our discussion. However, it is a long question. Notice how long it is. This question takes you to the second last line from the bottom. The Gemara asks, Loma li lishnuye Allah shiny gozolos hoyo vasuin ledados. Why was it necessary for both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar that they together stated that the example of our Mishnah is different than the case of the Maaser Sheni? Because of the fundamental difference. But why did they have to say that? Why did they both, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, give that explanation? Vo itmar alo dahi to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, it was stated by Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar regarding the Maaser Sheni source. You have the same names. Note the names. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, they were featured two lines above where we underlined them together, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. The same rabbis, when it came to Maaser Sheni, Chanomar, Bishnei Kisim Machlekes, Aval Pekis Echo, Divrei Kol Chulin. One approach of, we don't know who says what right now, but you got Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. One of them says that the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, that's where there were two pouches. You had two and you found one. Is the one that you found something totally new, or is the one simply left from the original ones? Avol, bekis echod, divrei hakol chulin. If you originally left one pouch there of Maaser Sheni, then everyone will agree that that which you find afterwards is chulin. Now, what do you mean that which you find afterwards? So we take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is in the wide lines, in the middle of the wide lines. V'loma li lishni alo, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, ma dochakin liklos tam mishnosenu b'medadin. What is pushing them to explain the Mishnah regarding the birds is they're different because they waddle. Holididhu mistukemes shapir k'rabonim b'lav haitaimo. According to them, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, we can set up our Mishnah like the Rabbonon without the explanation of the birds waddling. Do'inu ifligu bahida meiser. They, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, had an argument within the case of the Maaser Sheni source. Chad omar machlokes b'munochim shnei hamonen b'kis echad. One of them says that the machlokes is where the two moneh are in one pouch. When the pouch was removed, the entire pouch was removed with the 200 mona. Avo b'shnei kisim. If the 200 mona were in two separate pouches, modu to echad natal v'niyach hasheni. Even Rabbanan agree that if you left the 200 in two separate pouches and you find one pouch, that is the one that was there originally. It was one of the two that were there originally. V'chalomar machlokes b'shnei kisim. Another approach says that the machlokes is with regard to two pouches. Who to come a Rebbe, mono munach, mono mutal. That in that case, Rebbe says the original amount is there. So we have in this Rashi, you can see how it's marked. The first Chalomar says the machloikis, it concerned the case of the 200 mona in one pouch. Under those circumstances, the Rabbanon said that the entire pouch would have been removed and a new one put in its stead. The second Chad Omar here is saying that the Machlokes is in a case where there were two separate pouches at the outset. So now we go back to the Gemara. We read the first diamond. We'll read it again. Chad Omar b'shnei kisim Machlokes. The Meiser Sheni source dealt with the 200 mona, and you had left, there were originally 200 mona, but in two separate pouches, 100 and 100. And it's there that the Rabbanan say that you left two, found one, it's all new. Avo b'kis echad. But if the 200 mona were left in one pouch, and you come back and find a pouch with only 100 in it, even Rebbe will agree that it's chulin. The Chad Omar, we're continuing with the second diamond in the Gemara, the kis echod machlokes, that the machlokes, and by the way, Rashi presented this in a reversed order from that which the Gemara has. The first machlokes that Rashi, the first opinion on when they were machlokas that Rashi presented was this case, was that the all 200 mona, all 200 coins were in one pouch, and then you came back later and found only 100 coins in a pouch. So that is kis echad machlokas. Avo b'shnei kisim, if they were in two separate pouches, and here we wrote in between the lines, that's like the separate birds. In that case, divrei hakol, everyone agrees, even the Rabbanan agree, mona munach umona mutal. Look, the money was kept in separate pouches. You come back and you find a lesser number of pouches. So that which is there is that which was there from the beginning. So what do we see? We see that the Rabbanan, in the case of the Meiser Sheni, would be teaching exactly what our Mishnah is teaching in the case of the birds. There were more birds originally there than you find now. In the case of the money, there were two pouches and you're finding only one pouch. Everyone agrees that that which is there is now is that which was there from before. So, it's the case of the Meiser Sheni. You wouldn't even begin the question of, say, to suggest our Mishnah is like Rebbe and not the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan would agree with the Mishnah's ruling regarding the birds. Bishlamo lemanda omar bishnei kisimach loikes. According to the first diamond that said that the machlokes regarding the money of the Meiser Sheni was in two separate pouches, and the Rabbanan will tell you that that which you find now is not that which was there before. So then how would you make our Mishnah like the Rabbanan? When in the case of two separate pouches, they're saying the one that remains there is not which was there before. In the case of the birds, that which remains, we're saying, is that which was there before. How could that check out to be like the Rabbanan? Therefore, the Gemara had to answer where we highlighted before, the dashed underlining, where we had to say, we have to answer before that here it's different. Let's read that again. Therefore, we had to answer over here that this is different. Our mission is different. That Gozolo's birds are different. Since they move. So since they move, if I had prepared three and I find two, the one moved away. It has its own internal locomotion. In the case of pouches, if I prepared, if I left two and I find one, someone must have come along and taken everything away, and that which is there now is not what was there originally. They're different. Pouches are different from birds. And with that difference in mind, our Mishnah is not bound to the example of the source, and hence our Mishnah could be authored by the Rabbanan. Now, it can sound a little repetitious, but we'll say anyway. In the case of the pouches, the Rabbanan will tell you that whatever you find there is not that which was there from beforehand, as opposed to the case of the birds, they're medados, they move on their own, so that the two that remain are the two original, and the one moved off away. I prepared three and I found two. The third one waddled away. Elo lemandu omar b'kise echod machloikes avo b'shnei kisin divrei hakol monamunoch monamutal. But according to the opinion in the case of the Meiser Sheni that says that the machloikes was only with one pouch, but in the case of two pouches, even the Rabbonin agree that that which is there is that which was originally there. Hashto lomali lishnei alo. Why is there any necessity in saying that birds are different? Ho amris. In fact, the psak is the same. Ho amris b'shnei kisim lo pligi. In the case of two pouches, there is no argument. So just like Rebbe says that the mona that you find is the original one, the Rabbanan agree that that is the original one. Just like the case of the birds. You prepared more birds, found less, and we're saying those are mutter because those were the original birds. So why is it necessary to spell out this idea of shiny gozolos? And again, just to repeat a point we mentioned before, the opinions that are discussing the two diamonds that we saw, they involve Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. And the case of the answer we gave before, shiny gozos, was also Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So one of the two, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, we don't know who it is, but one of them is seeming, when he says shiny gozolos, the gozolos are different. There was no necessity in saying the gozolos are different. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi explains, Hocha, Begezolos mekushoron vekisim mekushoron askinan. The case of the pouches and the case of the birds are where they are tied to one another. The birds are tied to one another and the pouches are tied to one another. Gezolos menaschi me'adodi, kisim lo menaschi adodi. And here we go to Rashi, who explains very clearly. Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Omer Ravashi, Hakocha begezolos v'mando, maidichtiv, bekis echad machloikes, the source, when it originally said in one pouch, when we should say the mando Omer, let me correct myself, mando Omer bekis echad machloikes, the opinion that said that the machloikes Rebbe and the Chachomim concerns one pouch, it's b'shnei kisim ke'en kis echad komar. There were two pouches that were like one in the sense that they were they were two pouches tied together. And that which he said, but if it were two pouches, everyone agrees that the original mona is there and just the other mona was removed. That's b'she'ein mikusharim. The pouches are not tied. So if the Kisechot machlekes, if the two pouches were tied to one another, so The Rabbonin are saying that they were picked up. You pick up one, the other goes with it, and that which remains is something else. In the case of the birds, we're saying that the Rabbonin could agree that even though the birds were tied together, the birds that are still there are the original birds. Umasnisin afilu b'gezos mikushorim mashma dehanosorim mutorim. The Mishnah indicates that even if the birds were tied together, that which remains are the original birds. V'lo amrinon, and we don't say oisun shizim notlu kulam v'elu achirim, that those that he prepared were all removed. They were tied together. They were all removed, and what you see now are something else. Hilkoch ilo the shiny gazolas here. Therefore, if not for the fact that birds are different, hayov asim ledados lo havim misukne karabonan. If you wouldn't add this explanation that birds are different, that they tend to move away from one another because they have internal locomotion, I wouldn't be able to set up our mission like the Rabbonin. Dabikisim v'shorim amri Rabbonin hakol chulin. In the case of the tied together pouches, the Rabbonin said everything is chulin. V'hashto agav hay shinuyo misuk mishapik Rabbonin. Now with this distinction, we can set up the Mishnah like the Rabbonin as well. In other words, the Rabbonin that argued in the case of the Maaser Sheni can be set, our mission can be like those Rabbonin. The Gozolos, the Medanin, Menasa Adodi. Gozolos, birds that have internal locomotion, they can rip away from one another. And we can therefore be Mekil and say that one of the birds had ripped away and went away, and the two remain, those that I had prepared. Avokisim, lomanaschi, pouches don't rip away from one another. Someone came and took the two pouches. Vekevon demikushorim heim shneihem notal. Since they are tied together, even if he picks up one, the other one goes along with it. Now, what about Rebbe? We continue in the Gemara. The Rebbe, Omar Loch, Rebbe who said, even in the case of tied together pouches, there had been two and there remains one. That one is the original Maaser Sheni that had been from before. Rebbe will tell you, Kisim Nami, even with regard to pouches, Zimnin, we continue at the top of Yud Aleph, Omar Aleph, the Misakil Kitrayu. Sometimes the knot gets eroded, gets eaten away. And when you pick up one, it rips away from the other, so that mona munach, mona mutal, as Rebbe says. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.